their fame always outlives them. Their fame never withstands. It's like we have the character. So many other examples are there, great personalities, that later were found that they were not so great personalities. Thomas Jefferson smoked pot. You know, there are so many different instances throughout our history where these personalities are glorified, worshipped, but then it's found that they're just ordinary men. So in this case, we have some very prominent spiritual heroes in our movement. Haridas Thakur, Lord Chaitanya, the Six Goswamis. These men are very potent spiritual heroes. But we have someone that we can relate to very nicely and very simply, who is Jayananda. Jayananda was a very great spiritual hero in our movement. Sometimes it's hard for me, myself, I'm not so advanced, to relate to great spiritual personalities from India 500 years ago, in the time of Lord Krishna, in the time of Lord Chaitanya. But Jayananda came from a similar background of all of us. He's met Prabhupada when he was 27 years old. He had gone to college. He drove a cab. He had done so many things in the material world. And then he came to Krishna consciousness, and he elevated himself up to a very high platform of devotional service. And he did this and became a pure devotee and went back to Godhead. So this way, his qualities were very, very attractive. I remember when I met Jayananda myself, in New York City, I came as a bhakta, and I came to the temple, and I was to work with him on Rath Yatra. The first thing I observed of him was he was a lot older than most of the men. He was about 38. And he was very understanding. He always had a very understanding nature. When I first met the Rath Yatra crew, just joined the movement, I had a little earring in my ear. I thought I was pretty cool. I had this earring, you know. There was a big gold ball. And Jayananda walked up to me and he goes, "What's that, a little earring?" I said, "Yeah, you know." It's in here. And he goes, "It's all right." He slaps me on the back. He goes, "Leave it in." It's no big deal. So this way, he was always very tolerant of anything we were doing. You know, like we were given the Rath Yatra to do. It was just myself, Jambavan, and Jayananda at the beginning. And Jayananda would accept anything given. Like the first day I went out with him, we went out in our car, and it was a beat-up old Plymouth. The trunk never closed on it, and it was constantly slamming up and down. We could tie it down, we put weights on it. Just was one of those things, you know. And it was teeming rain, and the trunk was opening and closing. And it was just like I was kind of like all bummed out right away, you know, but already, just because it was raining out. So then we got a flat tire. We get the flat tire, we open up the trunk's already open. We look at the spare. It's got a hole this big in it. And it's full of glass. Jayananda pulls it out and goes, "How would you know it?" He goes, "Look at this tire." And I go, "Ooh, yeah, look at it. What a bummer." And he just goes, "Well, let's keep going." He jacks up the car. We took it to a gas station. His philosophy was very positive. He was at 3 o'clock in the morning. He'd be bouncing down the hallway with a towel over his shoulder about this big. And he'd be saying, "Haribo, Haribo," and slapping everybody on the back. He was like everybody's big brother. And he was very enthusiastic at every point of the day. He would never let his enthusiasm wane. Even at prasadam, that was one of his most enthusiastic times. He would always have a big plate of prasadam. And he'd always be going, "Oh, it's just like a feast. Look at this nectar and sabji, and bring on more." And I'd always sit next to him, and he'd pile me up a ton too. And then we'd take a huge prasadam, and then in the car, on the way down to the cart, he'd bring out more prasadam. We'd eat that, and then down at the cart, we'd have more prasadam. And then, so he would always keep the men on a full tank of prasadam while working. And his nature was very conducive to devotional service. He would accept anything given in devotional service. Any facility that was there, he was willing to use. It's like one time, Jambavan was recalling to me how Jayananda went into the shower. And he was from a gritty day, all this dirt on him, you know, and there was no soap. And Jambavan was saying, "There's no soap, Jayananda." And he goes, "No soap? Oh, wow." his, from a gritty day, all this dirt on him, you know, and there was no soap. And John Bavon was saying, there's no soap, John. And he goes, no soap? Oh, wow. So he picked up this can of Comet. And, you know, I think this stuff will do pretty good. And he started scrubbing himself down. He said, geez, John, I think this has got some kind of special abrasive quality. One swoop and the dirt just goes right away. I should use this all the time. So in all these different instances, he was willing to accept, you know, whatever was given. Like at the carts, we were sleeping on the train tracks. We took a shower at the hose. And he was willing to relate to every personality. And he was also willing to do any job. It's like in San Francisco. He was a much older devotee than anyone else, but he was still doing the garbage run, just because no one else would do it. And he was one time preparing the garbage run with Satyadev. And he was up to his knees in garbage, moving it and smelling, and he had a clothespin on his nose like this. He called Satyadev and he said, Satyadev, give me a hand with the garbage. He goes, here's a clothespin for your nose. And Satyadev put it on his nose. He said it hurt too much. So he couldn't wear it, but Jayananda just left his on, you know. And they piled all the garbage into the truck and they started going to the garbage dump. And Jayananda said, you know, Satyadev, he said, sometimes in devotional service, you're given jobs that are very difficult. Sometimes you think you're an older man, you shouldn't have to do things like this, but he goes, you know, I don't care what my mind tells me, I'm just going to keep on serving Prabhupada. He said, my mind comes up with all sorts of things, he goes, but I don't care what it says, I'm just going to keep on going. And this, we could see this in every instant in Jayananda's life. He was always like that. When I lived with him at the Rath Yatra site, he was always like that. He just, no matter what was happening, just like there was this one story, the culmination of the Rath Yatra in New York. We worked for 3 months, and we were finally raising the dome on Lord Balaram's cart. The dome was 60 feet high, and we were right on the Hudson River. And right at this time, you know, me and Jayananda were on the winch, you know, and it was all the way up, the canopy, you know. And this gust of wind started, you know, the canopy started going back and forth, and all the devotees backed off the cart, you know. They're all down on the ground, you know. And everybody was down there, and Jayananda finally said to me, I think we ought to let it down. And I said, yeah, let's let it down, you know. So we just got to let it down. The whole thing just snapped right in half. It blew right off the cart. The fences were all smashed. The hoops, the mast was right in half. And me and Jayananda were these two sticks out in this canvas, you know. It was on our heads, and Jayananda was trying to get his way out of it, you know. Finally gets his way out, and he goes, wouldn't you know it, 4 o'clock, we got 12 hours before Rath Yatra, let's get going, you know. So we used to work all night, you know, we used to put the whole cart back together, and there was these apartment buildings across the street. And these apartment buildings, people could see down into the area we worked in. So these apartment buildings, these two old people, an old lady and an old man, about 65, came into the lots just as we were finished, you know. We had the dome back up, and it was sunrise, and they were just standing around, so I walked over to them, you know. I was all tired out, you know, and said, hi, how are you, you know, and they said, fine, we just wanted to come over and see how you boys were this morning, you know. They said, now, we've been watching you, the lady started talking, they said, we've been watching you for 3 months now, put up those carts, you know, whatever they are, anyways, and we've seen you boys in a unified spirit just come together on one project, and it's just been great to see you guys work together like that. When we saw that dome go up, well, we just felt great last night. The final finale, that thing went up 60 feet. And when it crashed over, well, I tell you, my heart broke right in half. And I was sitting there listening. She goes, I just fell apart, you know. And she goes, but then when we saw you guys rally around that cart and start going at it, well, Fred got the binoculars out, and I put a percolator of coffee out, and we watched you all night put them back together. I just wanted to come over and tell you how great it is to see you men work together like you are. You know? And they came to Rath Yatra, and they were, you know, saw us and everything. Jayananda talked to him. Jayananda had a certain way with people, you know, that he could, like, the impression he left on people was always unbelievable. Like, he would always leave an impression on people that they'd never forget him. Any fruit run he did, or people he met along the way, or in stores, or anything. Just like in San Francisco, there was this one lady, she was in charge of the parks we were talking about yesterday. And her name was Rose, you know, and she was a big black woman. She was a big lady, and she was very inimical towards Krishna consciousness. She didn't like devotees so much. And every year, Jayananda would go see her to get the parks permits, you know. And Jayananda would always treat her with very special attention. He'd always bring her cakes and pies and cookies, and you know, and she'd try to be like really tough, you know. So Jayananda would come to the door and she'd look at him like, Krishna, huh? Jayananda, then he'd go, I got your pie, Rose. And she'd go, oh, Jim! Bring it in! So Jayananda had a way of melting everyone's heart, you know. And that one lady in particular, she later on, after Jayananda left his body, she was still on the Parks Committee. She always came to Rath Yatra and had prasadam. And Charu was in charge of it. Charu was at the table. They were getting all the permits together and everything. And Rose said to Charu, where's Jim? Why are you here this year? Where's Jim? And he said, oh, he's gone. He's up to, you know, he died last year. And she just busted out crying. And she said, my Jim's gone. I can't believe it, Jim. You know, he was like a son to me, Jim was. You know, she just busted out crying. She had to leave the room and stop the meeting for some time. So this is the impression Jayananda left. Even on devotees, so many devotees can, you know, exemplify how Jayananda made them and nurtured them into being a devotee. He like took the little bit of good in you and blossomed, and he just soaked it out of you. He never related to any of your bad qualities. He just soaked out all the good qualities and kept you packed with prasadam. That was one of the big things. Like, I remember we gave our truck, we had this big bread van. We gave the big bread van to the prasadam distribution crew. And we said, okay, you know, you can take it over for the day, you know. And then Jayananda and I, about 5 o'clock in the morning, we went to reclaim the van, and we saw it parked on West 55th Street. So Jayananda said, "Oh, good, there's the van. Let's go, you know. Let's get going." So I went over, and Jayananda hops in the van. I hear him go, "Oh, wow!" You know, I'm thinking, "Wow, what's going on here?" When I walk in the van, Jayananda's got his arm up to here and a bucket of Glubjimans. And he pulls out three and he goes, I can't believe it, Glubjimans. You know? And he turns around, there's a rack of burpee right to the ceiling. And he goes, burpee, with little American flags in it. It said 1976, which is the year it said the independence. And he said, wow, and he started eating on. He goes, drive it down to the site, just start distributing it to the men, you know. So we got down there and we had a big feast on the Glubjimans and burpee. And in that way, he was always giving out, and we had the whole 4 o'clock offering too. At nighttime we'd have a big feast and Jayananda would serve it out. This one time they had a whole truck of watermelons, and Jayananda was slicing up the watermelons and distributing them to the people on the streets. He was going up to businessmen with their briefcase with a big juicy wet dripping piece of water. Here you go. And the guy would be going, but the guy would see Jayananda coming and just his hand would just go out like this. He knew it was, he couldn't refuse, you know. Jayananda, he'd go around. His PR uniform was like a pair of pants with a big safety pin in here, because he couldn't get them together anymore. So they were about to, they reached to about here, and then he just plugged in a big safety pin in the middle here, then covered it with his shirt like this, you know. I saw him doing it up one morning. I said, what's going on? Got this big safety pin in there. And then he had a shirt that was always, you know, grubbed up from work. Like Janet always used to say to me, he used to go up to me and go, my face dirty? He just washed it, you know, sure. I go, well, it's pretty dirty. He go, okay. And he's going there and scrub it up again. He goes, it's still dirty? I go, well, yeah, it's pretty dirty. And he go, oh, what can you do? You know, let's get going. You know? He started, you know, going out again. But this one time, the story is, we went out one time and his pants were getting pretty deteriorated. He had a big hole in the front and a hole in the back, and they're getting pretty bad. So Adi Keshwamara said, look, Jayananda, you've got to get a new pair of pants. This is it. You know, those things are almost indecent. So I want you to get a new pair. And Jayananda said, all right, I'll get a new pair. So he walked upstairs and he found out in a big room where all the refuse clothes were, a pair of pants with the bottoms that were all fringed and shot. So he cut those off like shorts, and he put those on over his other pants, so to cover the holes. But he started cruising out of the temple hoping nobody would see him. Adi Keshwa said, Jayananda, there you go again. He goes, that looks ridiculous. And do that, you know. So finally, Jayananda and I were in a store together. These two sannyasis said, okay, now I'm really Krishna. Here's the money. You go take Jayananda. You get him the pair of pants. Now Jayananda, go with Murali Krishna, get him the pants. I said, okay, Jayananda, let's go, you know. So Jayananda spent about a half hour getting the cheapest, most, you know, funky pair of pants he could find. And he goes, okay, I think these are okay, you know. And he goes, okay. And then we get in line. I said, Jayananda, there's some flip-flops over there, those little tongs, for about 80 cents. And he had one that was about this big.
on his foot. It only went about halfway up. It was red. He had another real big one with a hole in the bottom. It was brown. He wore those for months. I said, John, why don't we get a new pair? They're only 80 cents. He goes, a new pair of thongs. He goes, hey, I got another month in these things, you know. He was like, you know, and I said, well, I talked him into the thongs, you know. So he was in line, you know. I could see him. He was like intensely meditating. Like, oh, he was like in intense anxiety. I mean, he was looking at, I was talking to him, and he wasn't even listening. Finally, I turned around to him, and he goes, I think I can do it. And I go, what? And he goes, well, I just don't think I can pay for the pants. He goes, I think I can do it with the tongs, but the pants is too much. I've got them on. I think I'm going to walk out. What do you think? And I went, all right, you know. So he pays for the tongs. We walk out the door. Immediately, we get caught. Jayana goes, oh, no. You know? We get in the room. Jayana goes, I did it. He goes, I did it. I admit it. He goes, and the cops come, and the two cops are there, and he goes, look, officers, I'm a monk. It's God's money. I just couldn't spend it on myself. He goes, I tried. I've had these in my pants for months now. He goes, I just couldn't do it, you know. It's too much. This $10 could buy $3. Could feed 20 people. They could do it, and I could spend it on myself. I said, I just couldn't see it, you know. So they said, the cop, the other cop, and he goes, this guy's a saint. He goes, well, what are we supposed to do with him? So they brought him in front of the judge. Jayanand explains the whole thing to the judge, and the judge says, the only penalty I can incur on this man is to pay for the pants he has taken. And the cop jumps out of his seat and he goes, I'll pay him! Let me pay him, judge! And he got the five. They were only a $10 pair of pants. So, you know, the cop gave five, and Jayanand paid five, and they squared it away finally. And then, in that way, it's like, I went out of case, so I came to the movement. The way he came was, the Rath Yatra crew was sitting underneath a tarp in San Francisco, and the tarp was slanted, and Jayananda was taking prasadam, and all the devotees were taking prasadam, and he was throwing bottles on top of the tarp, on the tarp. They're bouncing off, and, you know, Krishna! Jayananda was like, lodging, you know, kind of the lodging. He went to one of the boys, he goes, like, well, come out and give this guy a plate of prasadam, you know? What's this guy doing? So this guy brought Adhikeshwar a huge plate of prasadam, and Adhikeshwar had no money at the time. He was like a young traveler. And he said he really appreciated the fact that he was getting something to eat. And when he sat down to eat it, he couldn't believe that he was throwing bottles on their tarp and they sent him food out instead of, like, you know, trying to get it, you know, tough with him. So he took the prasadam, and then he came back and he squashed plums or something for the nectar or the chutney. For Rath Yatra, Jayananda had to have him squish all these plums together. So Adhikeshwar was one of his first meetings with the devotees was with Jayananda. In all these different ways, Jayananda was always, you know, he was always ready to go. He was like a devotee who was like a Minuteman. A Minuteman, like, you know, you hear one, the raiders are coming, they were up and out on their horses. That's the way Jayananda was. He was like, when we slept at the carts, we had watches. And we'd keep watch, and you know, when everybody had their watch, and we carry a big metal pipe around, middle of New York City, I was always scared to death, you know, I had this big metal pipe, you know, walking around, chanting my rounds, people are pulling in this banded train lot, you know, I'm thinking, oh boy, you know, who's this, you know, and then, so Jayananda, I'd always have to wake him up for his watch, it was different times, so this one night he was sleeping on about 12 pieces of plywood, and he was using a truck seat for a pillow. The thing was about this tall, as hard as rock. He was sleeping out like this. His head was at about a 90-degree angle. It was like a, you know, in his clothes, you know, no blanket. It was freezing cold in the middle of the night. And I hated to wake him up, you know, so I just said, just real quietly went over and said, hey, Jayananda. And he leapt up, started running around. He pointed the plywood. He goes, Murli! Get the saw, cut them in half, put them up for the plywood, let's get the 2-inch nails, get the collars, get the saw on them. They started going wild. I'm looking at them, I just chanted around for 2 hours. I'm like, you know, I had about an hour's rest. I'm going, boy, we're starting early tonight. 1 o'clock, he's ready to go. I'm looking at him like this. You know. Jayananda looks at me, and he looks at his watch, and he goes, oh, he goes, it's 1 o'clock. That's my watch, right? I go, yeah, watch. He goes, I was just thinking about something while I was sleeping, you know. Then he, so in this way, even when he was sleeping, he was just like ready to go. You know? One night, and he never got disturbed. One night I woke him up at 11 o'clock, I shook him. Hey, it's 11 o'clock, Jayananda. He sat right up and he went, 11 o'clock, bliss! And he went phew, right back down, you know. So I found sound asleep and I was standing there thinking, what am I supposed to do now? So I woke him up again and said, yeah, 11 o'clock, it's time for your watch. And he goes, oh, you all you did was tell me it was 11 o'clock. I thought you just let me know what time it was. You should have told me it was time for my watch. 11 o'clock, bliss, you know. So, like, I just told him 11 o'clock, it was just like, anything was, you know, bliss, you know. It was like, 11 o'clock, thanks a lot for booking. Anybody else would have knocked my head off. But in these, he would always be like that, you know. And he was always very encouraging. He would always encourage the most blundering thing you ever did. Like, he left me in charge of making a winch once. And I made this winch. It looked like a piece of modern art. I had just come from art school. China would always tease me about it, you know. So I made this winch. It was like, you know, it was crooked. And it had a whole different way of reeling itself. And I was really proud of it, you know. I said, here's the winch, China. I had it. And he goes, those are pretty artistic. He goes, is this one of your art friends or what? And I was thinking, you know, but even though I did it wrong and everything, he made me feel good about it, you know. I felt great. Like, generally, you make you feel good about everything, you know, and everything you did. And he'd always make you feel like you were doing the whole project. He'd always say to me, man, if it wasn't for you, Bach and Mark, man, the whole thing would fall through. He'd go, you're really pushing this whole project on. And he'd always ask your opinion on everything, you know. What do you think of this, and what do you think of that? And, you know, he was always really humble. That's how he was so easy to relate to, because he was always putting himself down. If you ever tried to glorify him, he'd turn the whole thing around and glorify you until you were, like, you know, on the ground begging him to stop. And then right when you were begging him to stop, he just loaded on more. You know? But he did it in such a way where he didn't get puffed up. He just wanted to serve more. This is what your quality, like, like, if no one was working, he'd just get out there, and you'd see him out there in a teeming rain, you know? Like, it was one day, nobody was working, he came out there, it was teeming rain, he was just out there, you know, with the material and the energy, you know? Getting all these things together, and the ropes, and this, I remember they had this big pipe, and everybody was watching him on the docks, and everybody just went, let's go! You know, everybody got out there in the rain and started helping him, you know? He had that quality of bringing out devotional service in people. People automatically wanted to help him do whatever he was doing. So even in his last days, Jayananda would always be working and doing things, and, you know, he was pushing on the Rath Yatra in Los Angeles, and he had me come out there and help him there. And actually, when I came in the room, he said to me, Murli, there's a pie in the refrigerator. You pull it out, will you? So I pulled it out. It was a strawberry cream pie, this huge pie. And I sat down and he goes, finish it off. Like this. Finish it off. I said, the whole pie? No, you want some? He goes, no, I can't eat it. He goes, I want you to have the whole thing. And I try to get out of it again. He goes, look, don't be bashful about prasadam now. Get into it. No, so I said, okay. So I ate the whole pie. And, you know. And Jiva told me this one thing. Jiva had left the movement, was working in a meat-eating restaurant. And he was cooking. It was a packed Friday night one night. He was cooking steak. And he had a blood, you know, ridden, you know, apron on, and he heard this, hey, Jiva! And he said, Jiva, you know? He turned around, Jayananda was there, and he said, Jiva, it's good to see you. Jiva, like, went, Jayananda said, I brought you some prasadam. Let's eat it. Let's eat it, eh? So they sat down, they cleared out some tables right in the middle of the restaurant, they took a huge feast right there. So Jayananda was never... He was never, you know, seen, you know, like, you know, this devotee's group, that devotee's out of it, you know, or anything. There's one devotee, we had some trouble. He had some problem cases on the crew that year. Like, he was an expert at organizing cynics and bloopers and agnostics and atheists. Anybody would work with him. Right? So in that year, we had one guy, he was, you know, going out and he would have a beer once in a while and come back, and then I'd go, well, you know, let's get back on the cards, you know, start working again, you know. He was willing to tolerate just about anything, but he would always just encourage me to do more and more devotional service. Like, when I first came, you know, I was sitting next to Jayananda in class. Jayananda and our crew, we were working, you know, 12, 13 hours a day, you know. And the sannyasi was up there. It was a staunch year, 76 in New York. It was like all the brahmacharis, you know, there was about 150 of them, you know, five sannyasis giving out the sauce every day, 15 dandas, you know, it was like super powerful, you know. So this sannyasi was up there and he was saying, I don't want any space cases in the temple. And he was looking at everybody. And was like this. And like my roommate at that time, I had this roommate. They made these cookies for Sankirtan. And I walked in about, Jayananda sent me back to the temple because I opened my closet door. And he was in my sleeping bag eating cookies in the dark at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And I was thinking, oh boy, what's going on? So he gave this whole class, and I thought, you know, geez, I'm not spaced out, you know. And he was giving the class, you know, don't be spaced out, be engaged, don't. And I was sitting there like this, you know. I'm pretty good, you know. I'm not spaced out. I'm looking around, you know, at all the guys, like I'm with Jayananda, you know. But I thought I was pretty cool, you know. And then. And Jayananda was just sitting there, and he was really meditating on the class. And then we got up, and I was just about to say to Jayananda, you know, good thing he wasn't talking about us, eh, Jayananda? Something like that. And I was just about to say something, you know, and Jayananda looked at me and goes, I'm the biggest space case in the temple. Because I can't believe it. Because if I could just get it together a little bit, because I could do something for Prabhupada. And I just thought, man, and I'm thinking I'm not space. Jayananda's like 3 times this, you know? And he was thinking, automatically, he thought every class was for him. He sat in class, he never thought, you know, this isn't for me, or I'm an older devotee. He just thought everything was for him, for willing. He was, if a bhakta said something to Jayananda, like, he'd go, you really think so? Well, maybe we ought to change it. What do you think? You know what I mean? Remember the crew. He would take advice from, not that he was a fool, he would know exactly where to put a man, exactly where to encourage and where to chastise. And but his chastisement was like a flower. It hit you. Sometimes it hit you and knocked you off your feet. But it's like it was like subtle. Like one time we were supposed to learn slokas for prasadam in the morning. And in the morning we'd all learn these Bhagavad Gita slokas that we couldn't take prasadam. And I wasn't such a pandit. I would have a great difficulty with the slokas. I'd be like, you know, trying to get them out. And this one day I decided to learn this really big, long one. Proof to everybody I could do it, you know. And I was like, Yayamindina Namaste. I screwed it up so bad. And he looked at me and he goes, where did you get that verse? He goes, man, you better just take Rashada. So I just took Rashada. I was thinking all day, you know, oh boy, I really blew it, you know. And on his eyes, I really, you know, felt that. So later on the day, I finally got it down. I went up in the middle of the day to Jayananda, you know, I got the verse down. He goes, oh yeah. So I got it out to him and he goes, ah, that's a ticket. And he goes, slap me on the back and he goes, okay, let's go, you know. And when I got to New York, I was just a regular guy. I thought, you know, I was used to going to the Sunday feast and drinking all the sweet rice and having fun, you know. So at 4 o'clock, I had this welding helmet, you know, from art school. I had all these peacocks on it, stars and rainbows painted on it, you know. So Jayananda looked at me like, he goes, boy, that's really something. He said to Jambavan about 2 weeks after me and my brother working, because these guys remind me of Leave It to Beaver, that show. These guys are too much, you know. So anyways, I was working and I turned off my machine at 4 o'clock and I put my welding helmet on top of the machine. Says, you know, 4 o'clock, time for the feast, you know. It was my first day working with him. And Jayananda Jambavan, like, got some huge railroad track. It was a railroad, piece of railroad track. And they were sawing it in half and beating it with sledgehammers. I was looking at him going, oh boy. So finally, I said, so Jayananda, it's 4 o'clock, we leaving now? He looks at me and he goes, leaving? He goes, no, we're not leaving. I go, he goes, where are you going? I go, to the feast. He goes, for what? I go, well, I thought I'd go, you know. You know, prasadam, and, you know, the guests and everything. He goes, no. He goes, you got it all wrong. He goes, we just work. I go, work? He goes, yeah, flip on your machine and keep rolling. I went like this. Okay. Then I lifted up my helmet, and I said, Jenna, do you think we should call the temple and say, have a safe prasadam? He goes, no, don't worry about yourself all the time. So I put my helmet on. I was thinking the whole time while I was walking, I'm no prasadam. This is so bad news. You know? So I put my helmet on. I was thinking the whole time while I was walking, I'm no prasadam. This is so bad news. You know? Okay, this is so hard, you know, 8 o'clock at night. So we're driving home. I was thinking the whole time, you know, we're going to get into the temple. It's going to be no prasadam. I'm going to have to get up tomorrow. The whole thing is going to start all over, you know. So we got the temple. They put us in the... We drove up. I remember we drove up the temple in this car, you know, the old Plymouth, you know. Sometimes Johnny and I would get that Plymouth in a tight parking spot, and, you know, in New York, and he put it in drive, and he goes, I think we can make it now. You know, we pull out and go. You go like, you know, oops, you know, and pull out, you know. So we drove up, and all these Indian people were there. And they were fully, you know, the gold and the bangles and the silk saris, and the men were astutely dressed. And we drove up, and Chayana got this pair of pants for Jambavani. He's a great big tall devotee. And the waist fit all right. I mean, but they came down just past the knees. Looked like clam diggers. And they were army fatigues, like jungle pants, you know. And John put them on the first day, and he said, geez, man, do you think they're all right? I said, they look great. Don't worry about it, you know. So we got out of the car. John Bavon's got his pants down to his thing, you know, and I got my colorful welding helmet on, my earring, you know. Chayananda gets out, and they just started laughing. The whole crew of Indian people just heard going, oh, Chayananda went up to him, you know, namaste, you know, and they all broke up again, you know. So we walked into the temple, and they brought this platter of prasadam. You know? It was just huge, you know, and it was like it mounted into a peak. And right at the top, there was these, like, a little pyramid of Globjimin balls, you know. And they brought it out, and they put it in front of Jayananda, and I went, wow. This is the most prasadam ever. And they brought out a similar plate for all three of us. And they put us in a back room, like, where nobody went, you know. And they said, you know, nothing's too good for the Roth crew, you know. I was thinking, man, this is great. Jayananda patted me on the head, and he goes, see, you never got to worry about it, you know. You got to stick with me. You'll always have plenty of prasadam. So I took it for granted that we would be well taken care of, you know. This one time, Jayananda would always be, he'd just never get into negative talking about anybody. Like, if anybody said anything or did anything negative about a devotee or about ISKCON, he'd just kind of go, like a big problem, political thing, he'd just go, yeah, you know, geez, let's get back at it, eh? We got a lot of work to do. He was fixed. He never deterred. And there was this one devotee I remember. He had some problems, and he was always going up to Jayananda about his problems and, you know, revealing his mind, you know. And he was always having difficulty, and Jayananda just kept going, man, if you give to Krishna, you'll never be the loser. Every day, say that to the whole crew, we go, give to Krishna, you'll never be the loser. Just, you know, you'll be the gainer by millions of times. And he used to say to me, if you're going to lead, work three times as hard. Because if you ever lead anybody or anything or any project, he goes, you make sure you work three times as hard as anybody. And then people will listen to you. So then I used to see Jayananda, he'd be working about five times as hard as anybody. And he'd be out there, the worst condition. When it got really austere, when the going really got tough, that's when Jayananda would just really start moving. Like, you know, I remember that the fire department came down and closed down our shop where we were making the wheels and stuff. And we thought we were in complete despair. We said, there's no chance. We can't do anything. There's no, you know, there's no getting out of it. And me and my brother were, you know, in tears. And we asked Jayananda what he thought. And he goes, because the only thing I think about is watching Lord Jagannath go down Fifth Avenue on the 19th. Because if you guys want to talk about that, I'll be right with you. He goes, but otherwise, let's just keep working. So in this way, he was very inspiring to work with. He was very inspirational devotee. Like whenever he was around, he was a big guy, a very big man, and he also was he emanated positive energy. No matter what kind of negative thing came to him, he'd just turn it around and send it right out positive. He'd look at the guy and just turn his head right around, do double backflips, and the guy would go away going, Jai, Hari Bol. He'd come in like this, Jai, now your problems at the tumble, and we got to do this, and then he'd just go, man, Lord Jagannath. He'd just be so in to devotional service, so into distributing prasadam, and so into giving a Gita out to anybody. We went into this one place, it was the back alleys of Brooklyn. It was a special cheap machine shop that Jayananda found, you know? It looked like it was about 1919. You know, the guy looked like he hasn't seen the 1970s yet. He had these old glasses, you know, and I'm like this, you know. And he had this hair that was hanging out sideways, and 3 days shave on this side, clean shave on this side. He's real old, you know. And he looked at us coming, you know, with our shaved heads, and he looked up like through the glasses like this, and he's like, "Can I help you?" You know, Jayananda kind of went over to him, and he had a Bhagavad Gita with him. And Jayananda needed some kind of special thing that we couldn't find anywhere, and the guy had it, you know. So Jayananda talked the guy into giving it to him for a Bhagavad Gita. And then the guy took the Gita, and he was looking at it, and he was looking at the pictures of Krishna and Arjuna, and the disciplic succession, and the guy was just going, "My, this is fascinating." And Jayananda was explaining things to him. When we got out of there, Jayananda was just in bliss. He was just going, "To see how that old guy had the Gita right in his hands, and he was looking at the pictures." He goes, "Oh, that was just bliss, you know." And he was just really into preaching to anybody, you know. And then in the end, Jayananda, he got these lumps in his legs and his armpits, and he became really sick. And they told me and Jamavan to have Jayananda only sit on a couch and direct all the things, all the, you know, the activities from the couch. And me and John Bond looked at each other and said, "It's going to be tough, you know." So we got down to the site and we got this old beat up couch out, you know, and we said, "Jayananda, this is for you." And he went, "Okay, thanks a lot, fellas." And he wouldn't have any part of it, you know. And I remember driving him to the hospital one time for one of his tests, right about 4 days before Rath Yatra. He said, "You know, Morali, I think I got some lumps here, you know." He goes, I don't know what they are, you know, they're giving me some trouble." And by the end, He was literally hobbling around, like he was like, you know, going to a thing and he'd hobble around. And I remember him walking down the hallway, and me and this devotee Bhaskara, you know, and Jayananda was hobbling down the hallway because his legs weren't working too good anymore. They just weren't working, you know. He just would say, if anybody said anything about it, he goes, "Just don't worry about it. I'll be all right." You know. So Bhaskara, he called to him down the hallway. He goes, "Jayananda, body looks like it needs a trade-in." And Jayananda turned around and goes, "Maybe you're right, you know." He just, you know, walked out, you know. So then, at Rath Yatra finally came. We worked that whole night to put the canopy back up. And Jayananda, we were pulling a baldock, and we were talking about this yesterday. Jayananda was pulling out the carts for the final festival day, you know. And he was just looking at the cart. He was in bliss. He was just, you know, bursting with ecstasy. So, like, it was, you could see, like what I saw, Jayananda's face after working with him all these months and just going through all these different circumstances, all these problems. Like one day Jayananda always had this tire. Nobody could cut this tire. Nobody. So Jayananda goes, "Nobody can cut it. You know, let me try." You know? So he got this knife and he was cutting it. And he finally had it all the way through. And the last cut, the knife just went into his leg, you know. And it just went all over, you know, just went all over the place. And he just sat down. He grabbed the Gita and he gave a 15-minute class to the crew on the mode of passion. He said, "This is what happens when the mode of passion creeps in." He said, "See, now this is all over the place." And we're going, "Let's go to the hospital, Jenny. Let's go to the hospital." He said, "Just a minute. The mode of passion." We finally got him to go to the hospital. He walked in and the doctors just went, "Take him right away. You know, get him in here." And they cut off his pants and, you know, they put the stitches in. I never heard a thing about it after, you know, the stitches went in, you know. So, you know, I mean, I don't even know how he got them out, whether he cut them out himself or what. So in that way, I saw him at the Rath Yatra, and the culmination of all these, it just went through my mind, the whole crew and all these guys and all the, you know, the problem Jayananda had with getting the place and the wood, no money. It was like he came to New York and he said, "No money, no man, no trucks." Like the truck they gave us, gas pedal broke on it. So Jayananda hooked up. It was like one of those engines right next to it. They took off the cover. They put a block of wood on the carburetor. You put your heel on the carburetor, and you tied a string to your toe. And the toe was hooked to the gas. And then you'd work the clutch and the brake with your left foot, you know. And it was like, you know, and a big stick, you know. What's here, you know. And you'd be driving with the toe. And it was like, and one day I was driving, and I pulled around a turn too fast, and I hit a brand new cop car. I put him right up on the curb, you know? And I had my shaved head, I had my toe on the thing. He comes to the door and I'm taking the thing, I'm unstringing the thing, and I'm looking at him like, "Oh boy." And he goes, "Son, you better show me your license." So I go, all I had on was a pair of gym shorts. I go, officer, I don't have it with me. Because it was real tough Italian New York cop. He goes, well, kid, he goes, I tell you, you better have some identification. And I go, well, I don't have my wallet with me. And he goes, oh, yeah. She goes, well, let's go look at the damages. We get out to the car, and there's this, you know, scrape and a dent, and his 1976 brand new cruiser. And I just look at it and go, geez, it doesn't look that bad. He goes, you know something? He goes, I've had a lot of instances with you boys, you Christians. And I went, uh-oh, you know. Here we go, you know. He goes, you know, you're not a bad bunch. And he goes, take off, kid. And I just went, oh, man, this is too much. I told Jay and I about the story. He just let me go. I looked at the car, the scrape of the tent, you know. And and he comes to the door, and I'm hooking up the thing to my toe. Oh, boy. And he goes, unbelievable. And he just took off, you know. So I told Jay and I the story, and he just goes, man. Because Lord Jagannath's protecting us on this cruise. There's no question about it, you know. So we were pulling out the carts. I looked out at J&M and I thought all of a sudden, he was looking up at Lord Jagannath. He was just in ecstasy. He danced all the way. There's a film of it. That Ralphie had to film him pulling and dancing. I remember my father came and he was like, my father was not so used to Krishna consciousness yet, you know. And he met J&M. J&M was the perfect thing to say to him. J&M shook his hand. He goes, your boys are the hardest workers I ever met. And my father went, Jayananda, you're a good man. He took his hand, and then Jayananda got him right next to him. I mean, I've never seen my father. You know, my father was right next to Jayananda going like this, boom, Jayananda! Dancing and leaping and garlands. He was right next to Jayananda the whole time, you know. And Jayananda, I was calling Jayananda about this problem on the carts. I was going, Jayananda, and he looked up at me. He was just going, I'm in ecstasy. He goes, this is just unbelievable. I couldn't even get the message to him. I had to get just a Jumna Maharaj instead. And he just pulled the carts, and then we got down to the site, and we pulled the carts back, and people were coming out of the bars chanting Hare Krishna. Jayananda was just like busting with ecstasy. I couldn't even, you know. And he told me this one story one time, that he was in India. And he said he was so sick. He was so attached to chanting. He would sit and chant his rounds. Like, in New York, he'd sit down, and everybody respected him. He'd always get these garlands, and about a second after the garland, he'd call some guy over, like real national, and he'd cut the garland on him and start chanting again, you know. And he'd always have the crew sit next to him, and he'd just chant every round, just sit there, and he'd just chant all his rounds. And he'd be done, and he'd go to work. But, like, so he was in India, and he said he was so sick he couldn't even crawl. He just told me this story. It was like real matter of fact. But he goes, I was so sick I couldn't even crawl. He goes, but I dragged myself over to my little altar with Prabhupada. And he said, I started chanting. And he said, you know, Murali, it was the most amazing thing. He said, I chanted just a few mantras, and in minutes I felt great ecstasy of chanting the holy name. And when he said it, I just went, you know, like went right through me. Because I knew he was tasting, like he was tasting the holy name. When he was chanting, when he was going through his devotional activities, he was actually understanding his relationship with Prabhupada. Like on a morning walk we went on with Prabhupada, Jayananda was about 20 feet back, and he would always, you know, be real low profile when Prabhupada was around. But Prabhupada would always ask him. One time Prabhupada would not leave, he would not leave San Francisco Airport unless Jayananda came and saw him. And then one time Jayananda, finally, Prabhupada called for him three times. And Jayananda told the devotee, I'm too dirty to see Prabhupada. I'm too fallen. My place is here at the carts, the festival. I'll clean up. I'll just keep working. It's the older devotees. Senior devotees should get his association. Let them run the movement. I'll just stay here. So finally, at the fourth call, he said, Jayananda must come and see me. He must come now. So Jayananda finally got in his darshan. And he hadn't slept in like weeks. You know, he'd been down. He was working tirelessly for weeks, never taking a nap, never stopping, never thinking of himself, you know. And he got in the darshan, and he just went like this. And he just passed out. And somebody went to wake him up, and Prabhupada said, let Jayananda sleep. And so Jayananda took it like that. So in that way, he was always willing to go the extra mile. And he'd never think of himself. He'd always think of someone else first. He always put the bhakta, anybody, his crew, the devotees, anybody. He would always push them to the foreground. He'd always let them try to lead. He would always glorify them. He'd always make sure they got all the mercy. He would just always be trying to get everyone else to get, here, you go talk to Prabhupada. Here, we go on our morning walk. Get up there. And he'd be in the back, you know. Get up there. Listen to what Prabhupada's saying, you know. And I remember going on the walk with Ken, and we were all packed in a van. And he was super uncomfortable, especially for him, because his head was like hitting the ceiling. And his neck was touching the ceiling. His head was down like this. And he goes, you know, this is bliss. It reminds me of the old days, all packed in together. They're going to see Prabhupada. You know, and he was like, oh, you know, this is great. You know, and all the other senior devotees were going off with Lincolns and, you know, the big cars. And Jayananda, they said, Jayananda, let's go. And he goes, no, I'm going with the men. I got my crew here, you know. And he hopped in this beat-up old VW, you know. I was hoping it was going to make it to the walk, you know. And he was thinking, this is my place. He was thinking, this is my place. So when I went out to Los Angeles to see him, that's when he was bedridden. He couldn't get out of bed. And he said to me, he goes, I got this body, you know. See, Jayananda, he didn't think that was, you know, bad thing. He was thinking, you know, this is a benediction. This is a blessing for me. Now I know death is right at hand. When he was in the hospital, he was distributing pakoras to everybody, you know. And he had this one lady reading Krishna book. You know, and Adi Keshav walked in the room one day and she goes, I'm reading about Krishna, but who the heck is Balaram? You know, so he was like, he never stopped. He never even thought about stopping. Self-pity was the furthest thing from his mind. I walked into the room. He goes, it's the best thing. He goes, this is the best thing for me. He goes, now this body's shot, get another one, keep serving Prabhupada. He goes, Murali, this body is useless now. It doesn't work anymore. He goes, I can't do anything. He goes, actually, I feel pretty bad. Because I can't even go to Mangal Arati. I'm the worst of gambling. Oh, here I am, an older devotee. And I was just sitting there going, I mean, his understanding and his relationship with Prabhupada is just so deep, you know, and so he really understood. So in that way, he was thinking, you know, that he'd just get on their body and serve Prabhupada. And in L.A., he just pushed on to the last moments of his last moments of his time on the time of his kind of Prabhupada. And then he just went back to the spiritual world. I remember the day he left. On the day he left, we were in the room. Me and his servant were staying with him. And, you know, he was really sick. You know, he had all the lumps, and, you know, he was really gaunt. And he was not looking too good. And everybody knew he was going to leave pretty soon. He just wanted to leave on Lord Nrisimha Day's appearance day. That's when he said he wanted to go. So in the middle of the night, he woke up and he was chanting really loud. And I you know, ran in and said, you know, is there anything I can do for you, Jayananda? And he just looked right at me and he goes, brother, don't worry about me. Don't worry about me. And he just lied there and he listened to this tape, endless tape of Prabhupada, the Happening album. And I just sat by his bed the whole night. And then he left right at Mangal Arati, right as the concerts were going and everything. A garland was coming in from Lord Jagannath, he left his body. So in this way, Prabhupada said that the best thing we can learn from this is to follow the example of the great personalities that we've come in contact with. So in that way, we can follow Jayananda's example by never thinking that we are any great personality or any great, you know, that we've done so many great things. Jayananda started Ratha Yatra in the Western world. That was his duty, and he did it for Prabhupada relentlessly. So, and he was such an older senior man, he was the first devotee on the whole West Coast, but he was always, you know, he kept himself very humble and very low. So by that we can learn that none of us are very great personalities. We got to work with each other and become Krishna conscious together. And there's also one, there's a disappearance day. Prabhupada has left us with the disappearance day of Jayananda. Mm-hmm. And this day we should celebrate. Prabhupada said this day should be celebrated. So every year in May, in the Vaishnava calendar, it states what day is Jayananda's disappearance day. And on that day, kirtans for Jayananda and Jayananda Katha should be spoken in glorification of him. He was the most humble, but also he's the most famous now. His cover, his picture was on the cover of the BTG. So he made great, great progress for this movement. He's a great, great example that everyone can follow. Jai Jayananda.
Jai Jagannath, Jai Jagannath, Jai Jagannath. We do it every year.